views expressed on the following show are not necessarily those of the guest, host, or SaratogaBroadcasting.com. Frankly Speaking is a production of Saratoga Broadcasting Incorporated. And now the host of Frankly Speaking, John Frank.
Good afternoon, Rick. How are you?
I'm doing good, John. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. I'm John Frank, and this is Frankly Speaking, and I'm here again with my co-host and station manager, Rick Thompson. And if the listeners out there have any questions, feel free to call us at 518-290-6601. That's 518-290-6601. Our shows are also available and podcasted on our website at www.saratogabroadcasting.com. It's www.saratogabroadcasting.com. It's November 6, 2014. And as I just mentioned, this will be podcast, so you can listen to it at your leisure. And so we're just a little bit past the elections, a couple of days. It was this past Tuesday. Today's a Thursday. And so we're going to talk about that. I'd like to talk to Rick about the national races and probably more importantly the local races. But before we even get into that, I just want to the mayor, Joanne Yepsen, in the city of Saratoga Springs, at 1:30 this afternoon will be making an announcement for the second year of Code Blue. And it's going to be over at 27 Woodlawn Ave, which is where the Salvation Army is.
Right. And so right across the street from the parking lot.
Right across the street from the parking lot, very close to the county building, and mm-hmm. there's a bank there also.
Bank of America.
Right. I go back to State Bank of Albany or whatever it was 100 years ago growing up. As many of you, of our listeners know, the previous year we had a death of a local young lady who was a couple years older than me, went to high school with me. Pitts was her last name. And that started the whole program, which was at St. Peter's last year. They could only do it for that 1 year, and the first night was open was Christmas Eve because it gets below a certain temperature. I think it's 20 degrees.
Yeah, 15 or 20 degrees.
Yeah. They open the shelter.
Or over so many inches of snow.
Right.
I think it's 6-7 inches of snow.
Right. And we haven't had a Code Blue shelter here, but we had it in Schenectady, and we have one in Albany and a number of other cities, but we didn't have one here in Saratoga. So when Mayor Yepsen was a supervisor at the time, but she had mayor-elect, mm-hmm. She put this whole thing together kind of on a shoestring with a lot of the other organizations, too many to mention, and with St. Peter's. And so it worked out very well last year. This location, which I'm assuming that's where it's going to be since that's where the announcement is, would be a perfect location, too, because it's centered in the city.
Right.
They have a big basement down there. The building's been somewhat renovated over the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. I think they even – didn't they do like a farmer's market in there for a while?
They did the winter's farmer's market before it moved down to the dance museum in that area. And, you know, one of the things, John, too, that it makes such a good place is and I don't know if it's this way in other cities, but that seems to be the area at night where the homeless kind of congregate,
yeah.
to get like in the parking garage to get out of the snow,
right.
and that. So that's a perfect area.
Yeah, I could not think of a better place. I know from Mayor Yepsen at the various council meetings, almost now her first full year in, they are looking to try to get funding and find a location to build something. And they looked at the county building. They've looked at a number of spots. But the South Broadway St. Peter's building was, I think this is even, like you said, even better. Well, we had a lot of issues, as you know, with security and whatever because of people sleeping there. And,
right.
Unfortunately, urinating and all these other things.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it was a mess. And I think Commissioner Matisse and along with Commissioner Scirocco were able to get that area cleaned up, and now this would be a perfect area.
Plus, I think they have a good infrastructure set up with volunteers. I know last year it was, they were not begging for volunteers, but it was hard to get them. But
right.
I think once the program started to move along in time, it like everything else, you know, they got set up with a regular system of volunteers, and it's only going to grow this year because
sure.
it's another whole year to plan
sure.
and develop it.
No, and my wife worked that inaugural night, Christmas Eve, there, like 3 or 4 in the morning, and She kind of works in that field anyways, but with youth and runaway youth. But she said she had a lot of nice conversations. A lot of people were down on their luck, or there was, you know, mental problems or alcohol related. But a lot of them, you know, were very intelligent. It was just, you know, down on their luck was a kind of a thing you hear quite often.
And, you know, a place to go and people to talk to. Sometimes that's all it takes for people to remain calm and relaxed through a holiday period. And even in the winter, I mean, you know, people can't help because they're down and out. It could happen to any one of us at any time, the way things are today.
Right.
And it's just, I think it's great that Joanne worked hard to get this here in Saratoga. It's something that, you know, we didn't know we lacked until we put our minds to it to get it, and now I can't imagine Saratoga without a code blue in the winter.
And last year was brutal. It was a lot of snow. It was cold.
And the cold.
And I guess if you believe in the Farmer's Almanac, which has a pretty good track record around here, it's supposed to be the same type of winter. It's supposed to be extremely cold. So
yeah, the squirrels' tails are kind of fluffy.
Is that how you tell out there from the Gloversville area?
That's what they say, you know.
Well, we'll be talking about Gloversville in a little bit again, but it's good to get that feeling out there from the western part of the county and into Fulton. The other thing I just want to mention before we get into our regular agenda today is that the budget at the city passed on Monday night, because the election was on Tuesday night. It was kind of a back and forth, but we came through with a zero budget. You know, the big item out there was the open this open space parks that was not fully funded, but I think, you know, Commissioner Madigan and the mayor working together to get that plan forward, if not in 15, definitely by 16, because we used to have somebody, but with all the layoffs, we lost that position.
Right.
It was in the charter, and you've sat on charter review board, so you're familiar with it. So they're looking at revisiting that probably in another year or so.
I hope they do, because, you know, that's an important position. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, Lou Benton was the last one.
Lou Benton was there for like 3 years. Yeah.
And he got phased out by Scott Johnson.
Right.
But I know Lou did a great job in securing grants for the city. And I just can't quite, you know, I listened to the meeting a little bit, and I just can't quite get Michelle's, our Commissioner of Finance's rationale, why not to fund it? Because we got grant money to fund part of the program.
Right.
But, you know, I'm sure it's...
Right. There wasn't very many new positions this year. I think what they're going to try to, it's hard to quantify a grant on the revenue side. You can only quantify a grant if you actually get it. So the problem was, I think she was left with a hole, because with you go full time was pushing $95,000.
Okay.
And you can say you're going to get a grant, but ain't roses till it closes. So and we can't, and she can't put something in the budget that hasn't been signed by the mayor. So I think that was the fear of the gap this year. But I agree. I think a lot of people come to Saratoga for that open space, and there's been a lot of initiatives, and whether it's crew or the trail system where we just got $1.5 million or $1.6 million there that we talked about a week ago, I really feel that that's a big draw here to the city.
Oh, definitely.
And in order to, you know, build on that, I think it's important that that position is filled full time.
Well, you know, I think forward thinking is very crucial right now. As you know, Jim, we've talked about this before, but we need to diversify away from the track a little bit, because we don't know what's going to happen to NYRA, let alone in the next couple of years. I know I've heard that they're reorganizing again. They're, but, you know, 10 years out, who knows what state NYRA is going to be in. But right now, I mean, we're fostering an atmosphere of new things. And I think we have to stay on top of that.
Sure.
And, you know, like I said, I think that position, when it's funded, will be a help to Saratoga. Because, like you said, with the crew, I mean, when that started out, I think you said your wife was...
they would change to different, like, people's sheds and...
Yeah, and now they're almost maxed out with how many boats there? A couple thousand?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. They just recently purchased a property next to Stewart's on the town of Saratoga side, and they're looking to make that on... they're trying to raise money. I think they're already halfway to their goal to trying to get $1.5 million, $1.6 million to build a state-of-the-art training center there. The regattas bring in so many people. There's scholarships. There's so many different things at the Saratoga Rowing Association over the last 20 years. It's amazing.
And these are people that stay overnight, use their hotels or motels or restaurants or stores. The Saratoga is rich in museum history and children's museum, military museum. We've got it all, basically. And so we've got the attractions to bring people here. And they are coming. I mean, right. You know, we're a very fortunate city. But, you know, we always have to have that ace in the hole in case something happens.
So. Well, like we mentioned in the last show last week, Mike Veach, who writes the columns for the Saratogian, said that, you know, since 2003, we're down 25% in attendance. So I think, you know, we're somewhat of a dying industry. Saratoga may be great, but it's even if Saratoga's down 25%, other tracks have closed.
Oh, sure. And the expansion is not going through. The expansion of the meet at Saratoga is not going through this year.
Yeah, it sounds like that's official, right?
It was reported in the Times Union. I talked to two of the reporters that are at the track all summer long, and one of the people that I know down at NIRA said that it's not going to happen.
It could in the future, though, potentially.
It could in the future. Yeah, right. They may bring it up again, but as far as they know, it's not on the board. It's not on the agenda for the board meeting next month, and it would have to be on there then to plan out. So they said that it's not going to happen this year, but they could bring it up next year. Right. I mean, you know.
Tomorrow night of your board, the tables are all sold out, but at the New York State Military Museum, Lance Eggmeyer, who's been on the board for a number of years, and my wife have actually set up a trivia contest. So they have 19 tables that are sold with a lot of bright people. Our table's more just to have beers and eat, but we will do our best to try to get a couple answers correct. So we have the Johnny Frank team going in there, but they have a Veach team, which, you know, there's so many Veaches, they're going to get the top of the litter there. The City Center's got a team. Empire State College has had his team, so it's Gordon Boyd's going to moderate. He's going to be like Alex Trebek tomorrow night.
Okay.
It's from 5:30 to 9:30, so we're kind of his first annual one. So I haven't talked to my wife in a week because she's so stressed out.
Is this
it's a fundraiser for them. Right. And so she's a little bit nervous right now. So that's why I'm doing my radio show today.
I want you to know now, I'm not tooting any horns, okay? But when we were going through charter change, Pat Brent and I would go to O'Brien Inn.
Right.
And they had a trivia night there, and it always seemed that we had our meetings on that night, and we won, I don't know if it was two out of the three nights we were there.
So you were ranked pretty
and
high.
We were pretty good, I'll tell you. We should have got it. Next time, let me know.
Well, I would have brought you.
Frank team.
I would have brought you on our team. I just know with the parade and everything, you probably got your schedule pretty tight right now, and you're probably concentrating on that. We didn't want to take you off your A game.
Yeah, right.
Trivia is trivia, though.
It is.
So I just wanted to throw that plug out there. So we're going to talk about the national races and the local races, but the other thing I just wanted to bring up, something that's near and dear to you and me and just about everybody who's ever been involved in City Hall politics, is a local blogger, I believe, on Wednesday pleaded guilty to computer hacking charges. We all know him, John Tighe.
Yeah, Saratoga and Declines.
Saratoga and Declines.
John Tighe, who was... in the paper today, and I think the adjective the reporter used was it was an acidic daily blog attacking local politicians relentlessly.
So you're very good at trivia, right? You were saying earlier. How old is John Tighe? Because in one paper they say he was 56, and the other they say he was 57, and the other one say he was 67. So that I think that alone
67's out.
Okay.
Because he's younger than I am.
Okay, so
I would think that he would be probably 57.
Okay.
Because I think his wife is a few years older than he is, and I would say he's 57.
Okay, so that's your final answer.
That's correct. My final answer.
We will. I'm sure we will get the official word someday. I know when he got arrested, there was ranges from 54 to 80. So he looks 67.
He does.
And you're home, John, listening.
And I'll
you
bet
shouldn't
you
be because you shouldn't have a computer or phone.
I bet you right now he looks like he's 90.
Yeah. So as you said, you know, I knew John when I first got in politics. He was actually on the Democratic Committee. And his dad, I mean, the ties go way back in the city. His dad was, I think, the fire chief,
Fire chief, yeah.
And different type of guy, and sometimes I could somewhat get along with him, but as you know, I was always one of the top attack persons. But myself, Chris Matisse, and Brent Will, everybody kind of went after. And Nexium, or however you say it.
Right.
So... what's your understanding of this? He basically was hacking. He got a password from someone.
Well, what
or something?
He did, yeah. When he started his blog, he basically was a watchdog for this group, and he. Some people say it's a cult. Some people, no matter what it is, I mean, there's a lot of people that belong to it, and very famous families belong to it. But John had some inside, he had a person on the inside that used to feed him information.
Right.
And this person ended up giving John one of the higher-ups' password to get into the server.
Okay.
So John hacked into their server. And I didn't know how many times, but I went to court yesterday morning and they to plead guilty. And you know how they always ask you to, you know, tell the story.
Right.
And he said he hacked in between 50 and 70 times.
Okay.
So he was getting information that probably shouldn't have been shared with the public, and bringing it out and accusing them of doing certain things. And you know how people can always put a spin on things?
Right.
And that's what he was good at,
Right. Putting
a negative spin. So... they confiscated his computer, and one of the questions that he asked the state police as they were carrying the computers out was, can I get in trouble if there's anything else on those computers that don't pertain to me hacking into Nexium?
Right.
And the trooper said, well, it's possible. It's
right.
A possibility. Well, then
we've
there.
Right. And so this first... charge they plead guilty. This is at the state level, and he can get
state
up to
level,
1 year.
1 year
in
Albany County Jail. Yeah.
Okay, so he pleaded out to that, and then there's still the outstanding. So when they got into that point, apparently, at least on his computer, they found in excess of 400 files allegedly of pornographic
child pornography.
Yeah, for some at kindergarten age.
Right, kindergarten age, and the files were by month and year. So that's how the files were set up.
Okay.
Like he would have January 2014
yeah.
with X amount of files in there of kindergarten children.
Yeah.
And
allegedly, obviously,
until
it goes true.
Allegedly,
right.
Yes.
And then, no, but that's a federal case? That was a state
that's
case?
A federal.
It started state and the state
started
moved it under federal.
And moved it under federal because I think one of the people in the ring was out of state.
Okay.
And some of the kids may have been out of state.
Gotcha.
So it's now a federal case.
Now, I read this briefly yesterday. I got tons of emails on it.
Right.
But did they have any time certain of when what was going on with that? It's just a state case at this
no,
point in time?
No. It's just a state case right now. But the way that I'm thinking is that they probably wanted this case to be, the state case, to be cleared up first.
Right.
Sentencing is January the 15th.
Okay.
On the hacking case. I think once that happens, you're going to see the feds come in with their case, and it's probably going to be fast-tracked, a speedy trial.
Because they say he's basically like home arrest, but I see him driving around all the time, so that's clearly, you know, unless
he's not supposed to.
Yeah, I mean, I see him on Geyser Road constantly.
Yeah.
I've seen him on Route 50.
I was told he can only take his wife to work and pick her up. That's
okay.
It.
Okay.
But he is all around, but, you know, that's...
So the two mysteries still out there is what happens at the federal level. And his age.
And his age.
Okay.
And what a sentence he'll get
and
for the hacking case.
Well, yeah, but they said only up to a year was the max.
Up to a year.
But was it a felony? It was a felony,
I
believe.
It must be a felony,
yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, well, there's a big difference between going wearing orange down in Albany County and with the feds, I would think.
And
right?
Leavenworth or something.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we'll keep you up to date on that.
Oh, yeah,
like
we
I
will.
Said, We will see. I think he was ready to spring some more stuff right before the election last year. Unfortunately, the Republicans kind of jumped, local Republicans kind of worked with him and actually had him in meetings and stuff. And
exactly.
I think that's going to come out if he gets this felony charge. I think that might come back and hurt them next year in the election and who he was associated with and if a lot of these local arrests we see are somehow tied to him relating to that. So I think we'll get a better feel for that if and when he pleads or sentences or something.
And you know, the thing about this is that. The hacking thing, I don't think, is a big deal. I mean, not that it's not a big deal.
Well, comparison.
Comparison. But if he wasn't so downright
he's just divisive.
Corruptible and divisive and hateful. I mean, child pornography is the worst thing you can do anyway. But adding to the fact the way he was before this came out, I mean, he ruined people's careers. He ruined people's reputations. Planted the seed instead of a person was doing this and doing that, and it wasn't true. But once you plant a seed in somebody's head, you know, it's
hard to unring a bell,
right?
Yeah.
But so anyway, like you say, we'll be staying on top of this because it's a real big issue here in the area.
And it may not be too far away because if he pled here, I would think that he's pretty close. I probably should have Stu Jones in on that. Maybe we'll get him in here because he's in our local building here, and you know he would know better than anybody.
Oh, I'm sure an attorney would know what the steps were. I mean, maybe they were just waiting to have him plead, and then they'll go
to the next step.
Yeah.
All righty, so let's talk national races here.
Okay.
It was a very good day Tuesday nationally for the Republicans. They have taken control of the Senate. The House was already pretty heavily Republican. And, you know, they had an article in the Wall Street Journal today stating that, you know, in 2010 they had something very similar where the House went Republican and the Senate was barely held on by the Democrats. But what they are finding is, at least nationally, the Republicans, though they tend to be more, the votes tend to be more with far whiter than Democrat and more male and older. They made pretty good inroads to the Hispanic vote, which has been really heavy Democrat, and the African American vote.
Mm-hmm.
So you're seeing that nationally. And I think also it's directly related to Obama. I think people are upset. With whether it be the economy, which if you look at the stock market, that's not a problem. It's the highest it's ever been, even though we had that dip. Gas prices are low and unemployment's come back down to before he was here. But I think his health care has potentially – I know this is a CPA. All I'm doing is taking courses on this because you get penalized now if you don't have health care. And it's on your tax return. And the IRS doesn't even know how to put the forms together yet. I mean, they have draft forms out there. They're talking about people who just have a basic return that they would file early February are probably not going to be – can be filed but probably won't even be processed till March or April. I mean, it's quite a disaster. The Senate is now 52 Republican and 43 Democrat. So the Democrats lost 7 seats. There's some also like independents.
Right.
And so I think you know, and I'll get your view on this, but I think that the – it's going to be a tough last 2 years for the president.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, you know, I'm an independent, but I lean towards conservative. But there's still one seat up that we'll know next month. There's a runoff in Louisiana.
Right.
But I would think that the Democrat would win because she she's been elected quite a few times.
And she won the regular elections. If you're in a certain range, you have to run again?
You have to get more than 50%.
Gotcha.
And neither one of them hit the 50% threshold.
Okay.
So they have to have a runoff.
So they take the top two?
No, there were only two of them. But third party.
So what happens if you don't hit 50% again? Whoever gets the highest gets it the second time?
It's like
sudden death, like in football?
It must be. I don't know. But... they said that, you know, one of the reasons why she may get it again, even if people were disenfranchised with her because, you know, of what the sweep was, whether they were upset with Obama or the economy or that, is because she won't be in the majority anyway. She'll be in the minority. So why not have the devil you know rather than the devil you don't know.
Sure.
So, you know, and she was one of the ones that would work with Republicans. So,
she's moderate.
Yeah. She's a moderate. But, you know, the first black senator was elected in the South since the Reconstruction era down in North Carolina. And quite frankly, President Obama may have a hard next 2 years, but that's going to put a lot of burden on Republicans because they better...
Because if they don't do anything, they'll go right back to what it was before.
Well, if they don't do anything or they hold their ground or don't work with Democrats and, you know, people are going to get ticked off at them, and then you got another...
And that's kind of what happened in 12. It kind of went back Democrat.
That's right. So, you know, it's... And you know how it is, John, when a party's in the majority...
They screw it up every time.
You get a lot of pressure on you to do things. And like you say, sometimes you do screw it up because, you know, you just either try to do too much or, you know, you just have the tendency to do whatever. But, you know, it was interesting how many incumbents lost. That was the thing that I couldn't understand. And even in the two governor races, which people could not understand, Wisconsin and I forget the other state, Minnesota, was it, that the Republicans got reelected again, and they were the two that were so anti-union.
Right.
And they had both been recalled, had a recall, and they won the recall.
Right.
And people were very surprised that they got reelected again. So, you know,
I think it was the malaise a little bit from the presidential election.
Right.
I mean, as of right now, the Senate, and this will change a little bit potentially, but the Senate's 52% Republican. The House is 56% Republican. And the governors of the 50 states are 62% Republican.
Yeah.
So from that end, it seems like the president's been Democrats, but, you know, these other offices have gone Republican. So... I think it's going to be the stock market popped up, so the stock market liked it.
They
tend to do that, I guess.
Yeah, I was watching one of the shows. I don't know who it was, probably Fox, and they were saying one of the ladies that's from Fox Business Channel was on, and she said that the stock market has a 6-month period after a midterm elections where the stock market either stays level or goes up.
Okay,
after that. Then it starts. It'll adjust to how they
feel
because they've been in for 3 months,
right?
And then, but she was saying how these big corporations, big companies, have been holding on to money, like J.P. Morgan's holding on $20 billion they could invest in infrastructure and new jobs, but they've been holding back because they haven't. They're a little bit afraid of what Obama has been doing, and so I think you'll see a lot of lot of changes. But I think you're going to see Obamacare start to get torn apart.
I think it's very possible. I think it's going to, whether you like it or dislike it. I understand the pros and cons to it. I just think when people do their tax return this year, it's going to be brutal.
Oh, it is going to be brutal. But there was a I forgot what the Republican senator
said it was here to stay. Or
no. They interviewed a Republican senator from California, and he might be the minority whip. And he said, I'll tell you right now, he said, we'll probably break up Obamacare, but we have to have something to put in its place if we're going to take it apart.
Right. Yeah, because anybody can attack, but you have to have a new plan.
Exactly. And they're not going to do it just for the sake of blowing it apart.
Sure.
But yeah, you'll have a good time with taxes.
It's going to be I think my hair already fell out. So if you're at home, you like ask a question to Rick or myself. It's 518-290-6601. And again, we're www.saratogabroadcasting.com. Kind of wrap up here a little bit. I wanted to go over some local elections, whether they be, you know, for at state level or at the federal level. And the first one, I'm going to go really directly to you, because you're not just the owner of the show, but you're your guest, is Hugh Farley. He beat Madeline Thorne. He was a Republican and always gets the conservative and usually independents backing against Madeline Thorne. Now, Madeline ran against him 2 years ago and got about 39% of the vote. and she got the name recognition, went out, and actually got less of the vote this year than she did 2 years ago. Tell me about Hugh Farley, because I'm sure...
Well, when
Because we have, just to step back, in Saratoga we have 25 districts. Hugh Farley only has four of our districts, so we're not really, we know Hugh Farley, we know the name, but it's not like a Jimmy Tedisco or a Joe Bruno, who took all, you know, had in the past, who had more of our districts.
But I think in the past, Hugh had a few more of Saratoga before they realigned in that. But when I was growing up in Gloversville, that's one of Hugh's districts.
Uh-huh.
And... I always found him, both my parents were Democrats, but my mother worked for the city, and there were some times that she needed to, had some problems. She was in the city engineer's department, uh-huh. and at that time the city engineer ran DPW.
Okay.
And some of the DPW guys, this was when she retired, they city had done something with their retirement. Called Hugh Farley and at the girl in the office and told him what they were doing, and in 10 minutes Hugh Farley called my mother and said, I'd like to come up and meet with you and the men, mm-hmm. and talk to you about what your problem is and how I can help you. And I gotta say, he came up and they met, and he took it from there, and he did straighten the city out. They were wrong. Yeah. And he ended up, I mean, it took a couple months, but he did it. That's the type of guy he is. It doesn't I don't think he even asks you if you're Democrat or Republican. And he's one of those rare politicians who will help anybody.
Right.
So, like we had talked before the show, he's up there in age.
Yeah.
And I'm very surprised, because he beat Ms. Thorne 2-1. In the vote number,
sure.
and but people still love the guy, and you don't know if it's just the comfort level of having somebody in there that you can pull the lever, because obviously he gets a lot of Democratic votes too.
Oh, I mean, it's sort of like everybody I've ever spoke to that lives out in Johnstown or Gloversville or Broad Albany have all said, you know, he's been in my house for dinner.
Yeah.
I mean, this, and he's a very thin man, so but it seems like. I mean, everybody I've talked to.
Well, you know, he was a teacher. He was a law professor. He's an attorney. You know, he used to teach at Albany Law School.
Okay.
And everybody knows him.
Right.
And he is like a Jim Tedisco.
Sure.
I mean, Jim could run with his eyes closed and beat whoever. I think, you know, we found out when he went up to the higher level.
It's a little bit rougher game.
It's a little bit rougher game, and he didn't win. But, you know, he's been in there a long time, and people are comfortable with what he does, and he does do a lot of good work. And we'll have to see. I don't know if maybe he won't make it to the next cycle, though. It's
well, we hope he do. I know there was talk that he every 2 years he's going to retire, and every 2 years, you know, his name's out there. And like I said, we have a camp out in Galway Lake, so as we're going out 29 West, I mean, they're not lawn signs. They're like... 4x8 pieces of plywood with his name on him. I mean, he's big out there.
He's very well thought of. I mean, I have to tell you.
And he won Saratoga. I'm pretty sure he won the districts in Saratoga also. So
probably.
I'm going to kind of jump to another race that is also kind of has a flavor of the Amsterdam area out there. Was Congressman Tonko.
Mm-hmm.
So you probably know Paul going way back, too, or at least know about him.
I know Paul. I mean, I knew the name. He's a big name in Fulton and Montgomery County. He started out his political career when he was 18 as a city councilman, and then he moved to supervisor, and then the assembly in New York, and then in Congress now. He's another one like Hugh Farley, though. You can... talk to Paul. He's very cordial to everybody. He'll help anybody, and that's why he keeps getting reelected. I mean, you know, you don't keep getting reelected if you don't do things.
Sure.
And here again, he beat his opponent almost 2-1.
Yeah, it was like 60-40. Though he barely won. He didn't win Saratoga County by a lot.
He didn't?
It was 50-46, but everywhere else he won much larger.
Well, you know, I have to tell you something. We'll get back into Tonko here.
on the governor's race.
Sure, and that's probably the most important one. Go ahead.
I don't know if you're going to bring that up later.
No. I actually, of all the ones I did not have, was the governor's race.
But there was one important fact in here that I read that really surprised me, and it just goes to show how much our votes don't count on a gubernatorial election. Governor Cuomo only won 11 of 56 counties in New York State, right, outside of New York City.
Right.
So what does that go to show you? That all the votes
are
down the city. And, sure. You know, that's a shame, right, because you lose 45 counties out of 56. I mean, you would think that you'd have a you'd have a closer race than you would.
Right.
Now, I mean, he with 68% of the vote in at the time, he had 1.3 million, and Estorino had 1,027,000, which isn't really that bad. I don't know what the final tallies were, but
well, he was telling you he wanted 60%. They only got like 53 or 54%.
Yeah, it was a very close race.
Yeah,
and I mean, I think that here too, Cuomo's getting a little bit. He's upsetting not only Republicans but Democrats too.
Sure.
I mean, you know, there's some things there, and he had something big blow up over the summer here that people really didn't pay attention about, and I think that's what saved him was that Moreland Commission.
Sure.
He appointed a Moreland Commission to
everybody else.
to find out corruption, and they ended up looking into him, and then he disbanded the commission before anything could get started.
I got to get one of those.
But yeah, but people didn't pay any attention to that, so it was kind of like a non issue. But and let's face it, his opponent didn't have money.
Right. He was outspent like, I don't know, it was 3-4 to 1, 5 to 1. It wasn't close.
Well, when the campaign started, Cuomo's war fund was $23 million, and with the money he spent on the campaign and the donations that he received, he's ended his campaign with $30 million in his war chest. So you can't beat it.
No,
you
know? Spend all that money and it goes up. that's great, man. But I do think. And, you know, the last one we're going to get in is with Kerry Warner and Steve Stallmer.
Mm-hmm.
I would have thought Steve would have done better just for that reason, because Cuomo did not do well in those Saratoga and Washington counties. But
yeah. We'll
get into that in a minute. Kathy Marchione won 60-40 over Brian Howard for the state Senate seat. That was Joe Bruno's previous one.
And that surprised me a little, because, you know, she refused to debate with the guy.
Right. Well, it was probably the old, you know, we're so far up, all you can do is go down by making a mistake.
Yeah, it could be.
But, I think she should have debated, but she decided not to, and at the end of the day, it looks like that was the right decision. And I think she was also helped by the bad turnout for the governor.
Yeah.
And Brian was sort of an unknown.
Right.
And the spending wasn't even close. And then we'll, you know, jump shot Jimmy Tedisco. Got like 74% of the vote against Jared Hickey. I'm a Democrat. I didn't know anybody's running against him. He's not in our district, but I should probably have known that. And I'm sure Mr. Hickey's a nice person, but I didn't see many. Granted, we don't see him in Saratoga, but even when I drove, I didn't see a lot of his signs and stuff. So I think that a lot of that is, it's hard to beat Jimmy.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
And, you know, you're not going to get, you know this yourself, if you go up against a person that's Hugh Farley or Jim Tedisco or John Frank or whatever, and your candidate doesn't have a shot, the party or the county is not going to put the money in there. They're going to fund a candidate that's close to their opponent, and I don't think they knew the guy didn't have a shot at Tedisco. But I have to give him credit for putting somebody up against
him. Right. No, I think you should. And if, you know, unless it's against me, we don't like that.
That's
but anybody
right.
else is good.
That's right.
And now we have the youngest congresswoman ever, Elise Stefanik, 30 years old.
Yeah.
Got elected and for the Northern District here. It kind of goes like all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
That's
huge.
Yeah, it's huge. And she won. She won big. I think she had 50% of the vote, and the other gentleman had like 37. I mean, it was there was a big gap. Only 30 years old, she worked in the Bush administration. She did a really good job. It's North Country Associated. So
seems
she
that's something to be proud of.
Yeah, she was very intelligent. Again, we're in different parties, but I thought, you know, she just took it away. She raised money. I mean, I heard her name pop up about a year and a half ago.
Really?
And because I was talking to some people up in Warren County, Republicans, and they're like, she aced her interview. They were just like, she's the real deal. So, you know, congratulations to her. And then the last race before we go that I wanted to discuss, which was very close race, it was Carrie Warner, who we had on our show, and you've had on your show at Skidmore a number of times. And we had her here early in the summer versus Steve Stallmer, who's well-respected in the city. He's a local boy. Went to Saratoga High.
And I wish we would have I told him Sunday he came to the house to drop off some literature. And I said, I wish I had you on the show, too. It's just we're so diverse on our show that we sometimes tend not to stick with political issues unless people call and ask us to be on the show. And that was the case with Carrie. And because Steve seemed like a nice guy.
Oh, no, I know his brother Paulie really well. His dad's, I think he's retired now, is the mailman for, you know, great family. He was a good hoopster, a good basketball player, great guy. I mean, it was Carrie's year. 2 years ago she ran, and she barely lost. It was almost by the same percentage she beat Steve. You know, what I couldn't understand, I was trying to get Hank Kaczynski on the show, but he's down in New York City, because he has a very good feel of these elections. And I was talking to him yesterday. I'm like, Hank, this is what I don't understand. The Albany Democrats, they put a ton of money, the state Democrats, into her campaign. And I'm like, the assembly's so heavy Democrat. What is the gain by putting so much money in commercial? Because clearly she was on TV, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And this is what I didn't understand. And I said, and then there's other races where they didn't give, even though Democrats were favored or close, they didn't give them money. He said there was other, outside of Cuomo, there wasn't anything big for the Democrats at the state level in the assembly. And because of the close proximity to Albany,
okay,
only 30 minutes away, they had all the staff there. So that, you know, so she was very intelligent for this position, because I even looked at this a number of years ago, and I would look at the Republicans would be loading their people up with money, mm-hmm. which made no sense to me either, because I'm like, you're going to be in such a minority, you can't do anything. And the Democrats didn't give in the past, but he said, yeah, it just hit right this year, where there just wasn't that many races where they were overtly concerned about. And so for them, this was almost like practice. I don't mean it in a bad way. So Carrie got that support, and plus she was working 18, 19-hour days.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure Steve was, too. I mean, wherever. And she won Washington County. I can't tell you what Democrats. Now, granted, the Washington County smaller slice than it was 4 years ago, because they redistricted after the 2010 census. But I mean, since I've been around, mm-hmm. whether it be local elections or state, or I've never seen anybody work as hard as Carrie. I mean, she broke her arm a couple, like 2 days before the election,
and she was out on the Northway exit 13 at night, 10 o'clock at night, with floodlights on her, waving to people.
Sure,
10:30 at night.
Yeah.
And she was all over the place. I mean, if you talk about how to win a close election, I think what made the difference was the fact that she was out so much.
Right.
I mean, now I know Steve from TV, and the guy lives right across the street in another development from me.
Right.
But I didn't hear much about him,
right,
except for his signs.
Well, clearly, I would think, and we'll see the financials in a couple of weeks, I think he was just outspent, I would think. And, you know, I think another mistake they made was Carrie Worth's a little bit of a naked campaign because, you know, this because he was a lobbyist, and he should have probably let it go, but mm-hmm. then he went after her and made a mistake because the Post Star ended up giving her the endorsement. You say, well, what's the big deal about the Post Star? Washington County reads the Post Star.
That's right.
And I think that really helped her. That's another thing Hank brought up. He said, once she got the Post Star, she was able to use that with door hangers.
Mm-hmm.
And they refuted some of the things that Stallmer said. And I think they made a couple mistakes on that end. But, you know, hindsight's 20/20. I think this race will always be close because it is still heavy Republican.
Right.
And if you get a strong Republican candidate, in the 113th district that is on the this side of the Hudson River in the Saratoga County side. It's going to be a tough race for her, but I give her tons of credit because she barely lost 2 years ago when nobody gave her a shot, and she won this time where if you asked people in the midsummer, she was a long shot.
Yeah, she was. But she, like you say, I mean, I know you from, you know, our relationship here in the show and the station, and we're friends, and I know how hard you work at your campaigns. I mean, it's like flat out, I don't know how you do it. But, and that's how she was.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, when you run, you run to win. You don't run to just be a face and go and speak before groups.
Right.
I mean, you're running to win the seat,
sure,
no matter what it is. Yeah. And she did it. And, you know.
And I think she came, at least not the, you did two more shows than I did, but the issue, she was very, I think, moderate, which I think helped her a lot too, and she's a business person, so she knows that what businesses need. But she's also, you know, grew up, you know, her parents were divorced, and you know, I just when I connected with her, and I've known Carrie, I used to be on the board. She used to be our director for the preservation, and did not know a lot of things that she was bringing up there. And I've known her for 10 years, so I think she did an excellent job, and I'm sure she's very excited. Probably going to sleep for the next week or so to get ready for when they go in session in January.
Yep, yeah. And I'm glad to see women start to get a little bit more women into politics. You know, my next thing, and I don't care what party it is, as long as it's not Hillary, but I'd love to see a woman president.
Yeah.
Every other country in the world, except these backwater nations, has had a woman as their leader, and they've done well.
Well, like I always say, in the city of Saratoga Springs, about 60% of the vote is women.
Yeah.
And that's why we have already two women on the council, and you'll see a majority, I would say, in the near future of women over men. So that's pretty much the show for today.
Yeah.
45 minutes went by pretty quickly.
Yeah, it did.
I would make it a full hour, but I have to run over to the Code Blue.
Yep.
So we'll see you again next week. We'll start bringing some guests in. I like to get some not-for-profits in. Maybe we'll get a report from the Military Museum. We'll bring Lance Engmeyer. He can talk for 2 hours. So that'll be exciting.
And that'll be fun.
And he's involved in about 30 other ones.
Yeah.
And so
yeah, we'll get some businesses here in Saratoga, find out what they're doing, what's new, and exciting for that. And John, thanks a lot.
No, thanks again, Rick.
And this is this is the Frankly Speaking show, and here I am taking up most of the
I can talk on and on, but I do that during tax season to myself and people.
Yeah, and I've been here and heard you, and I thought you had like four people in
Me. I can even do different voices.
All right, Rick. You have a great weekend, and everybody out there, listen to Talk of the Town tomorrow morning.
Who's your guest?
My guest is Gordon Cannon, and we're going to get his take on the elections. He was a college professor of political science, and also is an expert on John F. Kennedy. So I thought it'd be fun to get his take on the election results, too. So we have him on tomorrow.
Oh, and the other thing I just wanted to bring up, that'd be great, and I'd love to listen to that show, is on Tuesday at 11, on 11-11, at 11 a.m. at the VFW, we have the Veterans Day Memorial that we do every year.
Okay.
So if people are around and want to celebrate our Veterans Day, it'll be at the VFW in Saratoga Springs.
Yeah, what time is that?
11 a.m.
11-11. That's great. Okay.
I'm old-fashioned. I still call it Armistice Day. You
know, yes.
I was like, what's Armistice? I said, that's what. Because if I called it Veterans Day in my school, I get hit.
When
we
were growing up, it was Armistice Day.
It was the end of World War I, not
that's
two.
Right.
You know,
that's
so
right.
I say that, and everybody's like, what's Armistice Day? I'm like, that's what I always call
whatever.
It.
All right, everybody, have a great day.
All right, bye-bye.
That's good.